For the book of Revelation, in the back of your Bibles, you'll find the little book of Jude, and we want to read from this book, the 17th verse. Jude, verse number 17, and we'll also read verse number 18. After giving the testimony of Enoch back in the very dawn of creation, and his warning about the coming wickedness, the coming judgment of God against all those, in verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners has spoken against him. And of course, this is a New Testament writer, and he reminds us in verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." The title of my message this morning is "Remember the Words." Just an encouragement to us in the times that we're living, when we can see that the coming of the Lord is drawing very near. His coming is right upon us, I do believe. We find also in Hebrews 2, in verse number 3, just turn back a few pages to the book of Hebrews and read in the second chapter, beginning in verse number 1. Another warning, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them?" Throughout the New Testament, we have these warnings, particularly concerning the coming of the Lord. Continual warnings. And the Bible lays great emphasis on remembering some things. If you know the New Testament, you know the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How often he spoke of remembering, and he spoke of being ready and watching. In a brief statement in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, he just made this brief statement: "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. How she turned to a pillar of salt and so on. After she had been delivered from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, she looked back. And Jesus tells us, "Remember Lot's wife." So I want to preach this morning concerning remembering the words. Try to encourage you. Jesus spoke also to his apostles, "If I've told you these things, remember that I've told you these things. If they've hated me, they'll hate you." That's in John chapter 16. "If they hated me, they'll hate you. I told you this. Now remember it." He warned them, "The servant is not greater than his Lord." Remember this message from Christ. He spoke often of us, reminding us that we need to remember. Paul, many times in his letters to the churches, spoke of the words of life. Look in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. This is a very touching scene in the book of Acts. We haven't got there in our Bible survey yet, but this has always touched me. Paul, next week, will be watching in the book of the 19th chapter of the book of Acts as Paul goes for the first time to the city of Ephesus, a place that would become a great church. And, of course, in the Lord's letter to the seven churches of Asia, the first church that he tells John to write to is the church at Ephesus. In this particular passage, Paul is getting ready to leave the church, and he tells them, "You'll not see my face again." He's been there several times. But notice in verse number 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." What a responsibility on pastors and churches. All the counsel, not part of it, not what you like, but all of it. Verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers." He's speaking to the pastors, to the elders, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's a pastor's primary responsibility. Feed the church of God. He goes on to say, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock." They don't care about the flock. Not sparing the flock. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Remember, Paul says, "I came here in fear, trembling. I came here and brought the gospel to you. Remember the words that I've spoken to you." Verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." He worked with his hands. He wouldn't take anything from the church at Corinth. He wouldn't take anything from the church at Ephesus. "I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. They accompanied him unto the ship." Paul's last appearance at the city of Ephesus was saddened by these words. But he, even as he leaves, he says, "Remember the words that are spoken to you." Time and again we find this in Paul's writings. I'll not read some other places I have written here, but especially today, concerning the words that we read in Jude, remember the words of the apostles. The book of Hebrews, remember the words that first began to be spoken by the Lord. Remember these things. How are you going to escape if you neglect so great salvation? Warning us also, those of our day, so many of the New Testament writers did this. I'm going to give you a list and I'm going to read some of them, but 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3, concerning the second coming. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, concerning the second coming. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. 2 Peter 1, verses 9 through 16. 2 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 9. Over and over again, the writers of the New Testament urge us to remember the things concerning the coming of the Lord. And yet, if you'll be honest, we're more or less wandering around like we're in a daze or something most of the time as far as spiritual things are concerned. We're so wrapped up in our own lives and the things that we're taking care of that we forget to remember. That sounds kind of odd. We forget to remember. But the Bible tells us remember. The things concerning the return of the Lord should be especially in our minds at this time. You see what happened yesterday and shot down the balloon. China's been spying on us. We don't know what will happen next. But we do know this. The Lord warned us about it. He told us, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Time and again, the writers of the New Testament, watch, be ready, don't let it catch you unawares. He's coming as a thief in the night. Let's read in 2 Thessalonians concerning this matter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, First Thessalonians, I'm sorry. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. First Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That's scripture. That's God's warning to us. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. We're not in darkness. We've been saved. We're the light of the world. We have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. You're the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the warnings, they're everywhere in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 3, specifically talking about the last days. We'll not turn to read those. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, I do want to read this. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 1, the second epistle. 2 Peter 3, 1. I'll give you time to turn there. I want you to follow with these words. The second beloved, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words. What does it mean to be mindful of the words? It means to remember the words. Be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles, of us the apostles, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The words, the words, the words. Remember the words. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. They're everywhere. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, people today that will consider themselves educated will never agree with what I've just read to you. If they consider themselves educated, they will not agree with this. Because the educational systems of this world deny the creative work of God. Now, I know there are people that are saved by the grace of God that don't agree with that. I'm talking about the system itself. And this is the scoffing that Peter's talking about. This they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. They deny the worldwide flood. They won't accept it. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's God's word. Now you can either accept it or not any middle ground there at all. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, a perdition of ungodly men. That's what Enoch was talking about back in the book of Genesis chapter number 5. You know, if you read that, you look at all those who preceded Enoch. I think he was the seventh from Adam. The Bible says of Adam, and he died. The Bible says of Seth, his son, and he died. Every one of those men preceding Enoch, it says, and he died. The Bible tells us he died. But when it comes to Enoch, the Bible says Enoch was not, for he walked with God, and God took him. But he was a prophet. We read that in Jude. He warned of what was coming. May God help us to take the admonitions and the encouragement to remember the words of us, the apostles, and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life, eternal life, was settled in the Lord Jesus Christ when you trusted in Him. But your physical life still has to be lived. And one of the most important things for you as a Christian is to remember the words. Don't get away from the words, because if you do, you're going to wander just like a lost person. Your life will be a mess. Say, oh no, God won't let that happen to me. Did you ever read about a righteous man in the Old Testament, a nephew of Abraham named Lot? How his life ended up in total tragedy? Why is that there? What does that teach us? The fact that we're saved by the grace of God does not ensure that we're not going to have problems, and it does not keep us from wandering away from the Lord and getting into trouble. We need to remember the words. And those words always encourage us. They always encourage us to stay close to the Lord, not to wander off in our own ways. Jesus warned in parables many times and in words many times. Watch, be ready. It's coming suddenly. I come as a thief. Now let's think about some things that hinder us from remembering the words. There are things that actually are real in our life. They hinder us from remembering what I'm talking about. First of all, it's a lack of interest. You can get in the state as a Christian where you're just no longer interested. You're not interested in the things of God, because you're so consumed and you're so wrapped up in the things of this world, you just have lost interest in the things of God. One of the first indications of that is you start missing church. You say, oh, you harp on that all the time. I don't care if you think I harp on it. I'm going to teach it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together means just exactly what it said. And if you don't remember the words, then you'll forsake the assembling yourselves together, and you go off and do your own thing. And I'll cry just as hard with you when you finally wake up. And I'll mourn over you. And I'll rejoice with you if God draws you back near. But beloved, the way you can avoid this is remember the words. Don't get into a state of disinterested in the things of God. This life, and Mark brought this out this morning, this life is not all there is to it. What's really important is the life to come. This is just preparation. Don't lose interest. I'm going to preach on that statement he read about marching around Zion. You know, Zion in the Old Testament was Jerusalem. You know where Zion is in the New Testament? Right here. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. March around Zion. Consider her bulwarks, those things that protect her. Consider what she is. She's a city of the living God. March around her. Look at it. Consider it. And don't forget it. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles. And then secondly, lack of attention. I've come to the state in my life where I spend more time looking for things because I forgot where I put them. Do you ever have that trouble? Three things before I go out the door. I try to remind, where's your keys? Where's your billfold? Where's your cell phone? Because those are pretty important to trying to pastor a church. But you know, probably one time out of ten, I walk out of the house without one of them. You know why? You know why that happens to me? I'm just not attentive as I used to be. I used to be very attentive to where I was and what I was doing. I got so I just do things now just automatically. And when you just do things automatically, you know what happens? You forget what you're doing. You don't know where you left your keys. You don't know where you left your cell phone. You don't know where you left anything. Because your attention is not like it ought to be, and that happens to a child of God. We lose our attention, and we cannot remember some things we need to be remembering. God help us. that our attention might be on the things of God. I know we can't live in a constant state of that, but you know, I was thinking as we were praying a while ago, the Bible says pray without ceasing. You know why you should pray without ceasing? You walk out the house and get in your car, you don't know whether you're going to come back or not. You don't know whether your children are going to get hit by the car or killed in some strange manner. We should pray without ceasing because, beloved, we should not be presumptuous that God's going to keep our life so safe and so secure we'll never have any problems. We should pray without ceasing. We need to pray and don't be presumptuous that God's just going to keep blessing us. And we've forgotten something when we do that. We've forgotten what the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Thirdly, lack of priorities will cause you to not be able to remember things like you should be remembering. You know, most of us have priorities in our life. I mean, there are things you have to do, and then there are things you can do when you get time. Our priorities ought to be on spiritual things, but unfortunately, we live in a real world, and we have, sometimes we get distracted, and we have to take care of some other things. But beloved, which is the most important? Selah. What's really important in our life? When we lose that sense of importance in spiritual things, we'll start forgetting some things we need to be remembering. We need to remember to pray. Ere you left your room this morning, did you stop to pray? And last of all, a lack of involvement will affect your ability to remember the words of the New Testament writers, Jesus Christ himself. You know, it's hard to remember what you're not really all that concerned about, what you're not involved in. I found out in my life when I really get into things and I'm deeply involved in what's going on, I make myself remember. I even write things down because I know I'm subject to forget. So this is really important. I'm really involved in this. And I'm going to make some notes and carry them with me because I don't want to forget that this is important. But again, you can be saved by the grace of God and put very little importance on the things of God, and then you forget. You don't remember like the Lord tells you to. So just some things to help us know that there are things that will cause us not to remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the words of the apostles. You realize that's what we hold in our hand? These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles. That's what the Bible is. Yes, I know the words of Moses are here, but how do we get it? Now let's look at some things that'll help our memory. Jude says, remember the words of us, the apostles. Hebrews says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He began to speak these things about salvation. How are you going to escape if you lose interest in these things? You know, the parable of the sower brings that out. Oh, yes, some seed fell by the wayside and the birds eat it up. But some, at once with zeal, received it. But by and by, things of the world got involved and they lost interest. They didn't last very long. We see that all the time. But there are things that will help our memory. Problems. Problems will help you to remember things. As a saved person, when problems come into your life, what's the first thing you do? Even the world system. When they see a problem, what's the first thing they start talking about? Well, we ought to pray. Now, they may not know the Lord at all, but they have enough understanding about some things. They all get together and they start praying. How much more should God's people? When a problem comes into our life, maybe it's physical, like what Vic just went through. Oh, I can sympathize with him. You can't believe how I can sympathize with what he went through, because I had the same thing. But problems have a tendency to help us to remember who we are, who God is, how insignificant we are, how much we need him, because we got this problem and we don't know how to handle it. So our memory gets very active. We remember the times when we were close to the Lord and praying was a lot easier than it is now. Being thankful was so easy when we were close to the Lord. We wanted to pray because it was giving thanks to him. But sometimes problems are sent by God. I preach this and I do believe it. Nothing ever comes into your life that didn't go by the throne of God first. I don't care how insignificant it is. I don't care how tragic it is. If you're saved by the grace of God, it went by the throne of God before it ever happened to you. Read the book of Job, you'll see that to be true. The things that'll help our memory is problems. And as Mark said this morning, and again, I'm amazed at how these men get up and give a devotion. It ties right into what I'm going to preach. Maybe your problems are not physical. Maybe they're monetary or a zillion other things. But I'll tell you what problems will do. If you're saved by the grace of God, they'll help your memory. You'll start remembering things that you had forgotten. I believe that's true because God sends problems. God sends problems. Another thing that'll help your memory is love. You know, it's hard to lose interest. It's hard to not be really involved in things that you love. I mean, things you really love. Love's a great motivator. When you love your family, you die for them. If you really love your family, you would die for them, to protect them, whatever the situation might be. Because there's a love there, there's a bond there that would cause you to be so committed that you're not going to let anything harm them if there's anything you can do to stop it. So love will keep our interest in the things of God. And that's why Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, which we spoke of earlier, you've left your first love. You see, he put a great priority on love. It helps our memory. It helps our service. It helps our heart to be right with God. Love is such a vital thing in the Christian life. And it helps us to remember the Word of God, remember the promises of God. Remember that Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good. No matter how bad it is, it's working for my good to them that love God. So we'll go on. And then prayer. Prayer helps your memory. Pray without ceasing, yes. Why? Because it reminds us how weak we really are. How unworthy we are to even be saved by the grace of God. Prayer reminds you of that. Our Father. Did you ever notice? Our. That's possessive. Father. You're not talking to some president or some dictator. You're talking to your Father. And your Father is the greatest being in all of the universe. And he's your Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. You know, everybody knows what they commonly call the Lord's Prayer. I don't think that's the Lord's Prayer. That's a model prayer, but our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice how the Lord gave a model that always started with his glory. First thing we should do, hallowed be thy name. May your name be exalted and lifted up and praised. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We haven't got to all the things that we usually go into prayer about, well, this one's sick or that one's need something and all these physical things, but where's God's glory? You know why we've forgotten the model prayer even. I'm not one for repeating a model prayer, but I do believe the teachings in the model prayer are vital. He's high and lifted up. You ought to be high and lifted up. We need to remember he's high and lifted up in our minds, in our hearts, in our necessities. He's high and lifted up. He's in heaven. We're on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. Then he turns to our needs. Prayer is a great reminder of the things that God's word show us about our salvation, about our Savior, about eternity, about the coming of the Lord, about the end times. Another thing that I believe will help your memory is backsliding. Now, I'm not encouraging to backslide, but you know, I've read a lot about backsliding in the Bible. Do you ever read the minor prophets? They're called the minor prophets because they don't have a lot of things to say as far as volume is concerned. But you know, I've noticed something about the minor prophets, and you can check me out on this if you want. Practically every minor prophet ends Hosea 14. Let's look at Hosea 14, 1 through 4, for example. Just look at the way he ends this small. Hosea comes right after Daniel. If you're having trouble finding this, right after Daniel. Hosea 14, 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. That's what we do when we start trusting in ourselves. We say to our hands, ye are our gods. What do people believe in work salvation? What did Cain believe when he brought this offering to the Lord? That he had worked with his own hands. He made his hands his God. Read on. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. Backsliding in Habakkuk, you'll find the same thing. Jonah, you'll find the same thing. Jonah got sufficient in himself. He wasn't going to Nineveh. He just wasn't going to go. He got away from the Lord. But I preached on this Wednesday night in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea in the belly of a great fish. He got revived, did he not? Salvation is of the Lord. He remembered who the Lord was. He remembered why he was trying to flee from the Lord. The Lord was right with him. That's why sometimes we get cold and indifferent. We get away from the Lord and God brings us back. Now in closing, Luke 22, and we'll close with this passage. 22nd chapter of Luke. This is, of course, at the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the Sanhedrin, they're going to condemn the Lord. Peter's there in their midst. Verse 58 says in Luke 23, after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. About the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter says, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. I had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter got away from the Lord awfully quickly, didn't he? Shortly before this, I'll go to prison with you. I'll die with you. But here he's denying the Lord. So, beloved, one of the things that will help our memory, if you get away from the Lord, is to get like Peter. The Bible says, verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know why? He remembered the word of the Lord. You know what it calls a Christian to get his life straightened out when he's out of the will of God and he's not serving God as he should and he's forgotten so many things? He's forgotten what life is all about. He's putting his importance on the wrong things. When he remembers the word of the Lord, he'll weep bitterly. If he's saved by the grace of God, God uses our backsliding sometimes because he loves us and he'll not let us go. So I encourage you, remember the words of the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ while we try to serve him in these last days. I left out a lot of passages that I was going to read in Timothy. Just know also that in the last days perilous times shall come and so on. And they're here, beloved. But let's remember God's word that we might